This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Before we get back to your phone calls, a lot of baseball to start, but a lot of football coming up. The report coming out of Connor Hughes, who does a great job reporting, is that the Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys, the team that the Giants are facing on Sunday, are preparing for Jaxon Dart as well as Russell Wilson. They're preparing that if they can get off to an early lead, they almost expect that there's going to be a quarterback change. My initial reaction is, don't they have to do that? Because you, as a coach, got to prepare for everything?
I mean, I guess at the eventuality, but I'm not sure what you're preparing for if you're trying to prepare for Jaxon Dart. You've seen him just a little bit in the preseason, and I guess you're going to take some of what Russ does and think about more mobile of a quarterback, but it doesn't make sense to, quote-unquote, prepare for Jaxon Dart because what you don't know what he's going to do. And so it could be completely different than anything you would expect off the top of your head, unless you have intel, like you're spying on practice or something like that. And that's not happening.
Yes. Do you expect Jaxon Dart to actually be under center?
I do not.
You do not?
I do not think Jaxon Dart will take a snap in this game.
Would you, if things got ugly in this game, make the decision 2 weeks into his NFL career to make the switch?
Not in the game, but maybe after.
Okay. Because I'm kind of on your side in this, that, and I take the emotion and the excitement away, because I know Giant fans, of course, would be excited to see the guy that you're hopeful for. I think it would be a mistake. I don't care how ugly this game gets. I don't care how bad it is. I would not make this change, which is a part of why Jameis Winston to me should still be the backup, so that if I do want to make a change, I'd go to Jameis Winston. But you are on the side of, you know what, as bad as things get, you do that in week three, potentially, but not in the midst of this game.
Yeah, I don't think you do it. It depends on what the game looks like. I mean, if it's a 30-point blowout, if this is the Miami Dolphins at the Indianapolis Colts from week one, maybe. What's it going to hurt? The likelihood of him leading a comeback is small. The likelihood of it, if it's not going to affect the outcome of the game, then maybe. But I don't think the game is going to get like that. I don't think the Giants' defense is they're not bad. So I don't see that happening.
Earlier in the show, if you can rewind it on the Odyssey app, a lot of Mets to start. We had Frank the Tank and Tommy Lugauer, positivity versus negativity, debating each other. And I took issue with something Tommy said about the Mets being at home and how well they've played at home. And I corrected him and said, they really haven't. Like, it's kind of overrated how they've played at home.
Right.
June 13th is that line of demarcation we've looked at for the Mets' spiraling season.
Right.
They've been a bad team since June 13th. Their record at home since June 13th, where all the struggles began, is 18-20. So, again, better than on the road. And if that's the question, sure, most teams are better at home than on the road, but also not good. 18-20 at home is terrible. And so the Mets have been consistently bad everywhere. You could put them on the road. You could put them at home. So, yes, it's nice to be at home.
Right.
But it's not as if these struggles have not affected the way they've played at home. They are an under 500 team in their own building, including losing 3 out of 4 to Miami on Labor Day weekend. So those are the facts. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Mike is in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Great show. So a couple of quick points. If the Mets don't make a playoff, you have to have Frank back on again with Tommy, because I would really want to hear what he has to say.
Yes.
Point is, I want to give David Stearns a break. I know people are kind of, some people bash, but you know, he really, we haven't seen the fruits of his labor in terms of the people he's drafting. He inherited the players on the now.
Got to let you go because your phone's cutting out.
Right.
I think what he's trying to say, and this is why firing David Stearns is stupid and is not even worth discussing, being a general manager or team president in his case is not just player acquisitions. And I know that's what we're judging and we're very mad at and we have every right to be.
Right. It's the one that we see the most.
Correct. But player development, which we've criticized the Yankees for, is also a big part of it. And so Brandon Sproat being here, Jonah Tong being here, Nolan McClain being here, maybe guys like Carson Bench and Jet Williams being here is a testament to player development. So we make it simplistic as, well, this move bad, that move bad, this move bad, must be fired. Being a leader of an organization is more than just the player acquisitions.
Right.
Mike is calling from New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, boys? I don't think this team's making the playoffs. I don't think they have a shot at finishing over 500, and that would require winning six more games. The reality of it was an unrealistic and historical start to the season where Canning was looking like a Cy Young contender. The bottom line is Stearns built a horrible rotation built around mid-season projects and this comical pitching lab that makes me sick to my stomach to hear about.
Yeah, but they were so good for a while, Mike. They were good.
It was unrealistic, though. You knew the bottom was falling out.
I knew that they weren't that good. I did not think they would then become this bad.
Yeah.
Like, two things could be true. They have been extremes. Much like Frank and Tommy, I love them both, are extremists. I say that with peace and love. They are extremists from both sides. That is the reality. We just had a left-wing extremist and a right-wing extremist debate each other. Mm-hmm. I'm using a political analogy. Yes. And I think most of us would find that interesting because most of us would sit back and say, they're both nuts. But I think that the Met pitching has been extreme. What they did over the first 2 months, of course, was unrealistic.
Yeah.
But to be this bad?
Yeah, to fall off this badly. And by the way, it's not as if it was guys who just were terrible from jump and really had no chance to be successful. Kodai Senga was one of the best pitchers in baseball, ERA-wise, before he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sean Manaea was hurt since the season started, so he didn't really have an idea. But David Peterson was a marvel.
Yeah.
And by the way, it took him some time. Talk about development. It took him some time to become that pitcher that was getting into the seventh, eighth innings, like we saw earlier on in the season. Clay Holmes, I get that he's fading, but he's never pitched this deep into a season, this many innings. And if you had told us, hey, you know what? He's converting to a starter. He's going to start 28 times. You'd have taken it, right? And had a pretty decent ERA over that stretch. The problem is that everything else is also falling apart.
Yeah,
there's nothing that's working right now for the Mets.
I think specifically on the pitching, I'd agree with you. Clay Holmes gave you a solid year considering what they were trying to do.
100%.
David Peterson has given you a solid year despite his recent struggles. Here are the ultimate failures. Frankie Montas was the biggest, fattest L you could find.
That's the one that you can't argue.
Cannot argue it. Number two, as of right now, and I have hope in his next start, but Sean Manaea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was the guy who I remember saying to Carlos in February, I regret this when we had him on the air, when are you going to announce Sean Manaea as your opening day starter?
Yeah.
I mean, not only did he get hurt, but he hasn't been the same guy since eventually coming back. So I think Montas, Manaea, and the Senga fall-off, those are the three
right.
monstrous fall-offs. But it's more than just the pitching. It's the offense, too.
Right, because let's look at what has happened subsequently. You bring up McClain and Tong and Sproat, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I trust those guys.
Yeah.
And say maybe you throw David Peterson in the conversation. We have a pretty trustworthy rotation. But then they don't hit.
Yep.
And this is why it's hard to say anything other than they're feeding off the collective negativity of the team and nobody is breaking through. And until somebody does, and it's really probably got to be three or four guys break through and start to become consistent, we're going to see the same thing over and over and over again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Ross is in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Evan Tiki, how you guys doing?
We're good. Good.
See, I think you just brought up Manaea, too, and that kind of ties into, you know, the fact that guys like – it's weird with Quintana because he was there until, like, March. The season pretty much almost started. He was still a free agent. But yeah. You look at what – they kept Manaea, they kept Winker, and they've both been hurt most of the year or garbage when they were on the field. And I'll say one thing, too. It's kind of an off-the-field aspect. But I think it's kind of funny. Last year you talked about the OMG, the grimace, all like the off-the-field theatrics. One that doesn't get talked about enough, ever since that Panasonic, whatever those microphones were with Bowman and everything, the season has gone to hell ever since. They're like 6-10, and that's including the two wins against Philly afterward, because like Evan, you brought up, they dropped that Miami series right after. Any momentum or leverage they could have gotten from like some, you know, gimmick to go off of got thrown right out the window because they got complacent, and that's what this team does.
Well, it's really not building off of sweeping the Phillies.
Yeah.
They swept the Phillies and they were sort of in the race, and they're at home against the Marlins and they blew it.
Yeah.
And even when they
was immediate.
It was immediate. And that was the moment. I remember when we came back on Tuesday, I said to you, this is why you can't trust them to win this division. They beat the Phillies, they take care of business, and they blow the opportunity to at least maintain where they are in the standings or gain ground. And instead, they lost 3 out of 4. And even though they responded by winning 2 out of 3 against Detroit, that feels like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They have just not sustained good baseball. It's kind of crazy. Donna's in North Babylon. Hey, Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, I think Lugie has to wear an L.
Uh-oh. Oh. What'd you do, Lugie?
Evan was out,
okay.
I called in. I said, Senga is pitching like a butterfly. Lugie, and I quote, said, no problem. Senga's going to be fine. I also said that Soto didn't get my vote to be on the All-Star team. And I didn't care. He didn't deserve it. And now, who's right? I don't think Soto still deserves it because he's not playing as a team player. And Senga looks like garbage, and he has.
Hold on. Donna, Juan Soto's been the best player in baseball. The best player in baseball for the last 2 months. Big deal. He's been the best player in baseball for 2 months.
So listen, everything is working. There is something not working, Donna, on the Mets.
The other thing, too, with the selfish thing, the next game, Juan Soto, he was very selfish when he stole another base in the first inning, and he was very selfish when he legged out that triple. He's hustling. Everybody wants to turn it into that he's selfish. He's trying to get the team sparked. Look it up. He has the best numbers across the board in baseball this month.
Let him start the spark first.
No, we agree on that, Donna. I think trying to get Tommy to wear an L, which I respect, you needed to stick with the Kodai Senga argument. You can't go to Juan Soto because the reality is Tommy's right. Like,
Juan Soto's been great.
Juan Soto's been great. And the whole selfish stuff, and I said this yesterday, it doesn't matter if he's selfish. As long as you're producing. I'm sure a lot of athletes want to put their stats up.
You need more guys to be selfish.
Yeah.
Seriously. If it's going to make you elite and make you a producer and put yourself in position to score runs or score runs by hitting home runs, be selfish.
Be productive.
Yes.
And if it's coming based on you want to put your stats up, who cares? I don't care why you get there or how you get there. The Kodai Senga argument would have been better because Kodai was so abysmal, they sent him to the minors.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Donna called up on that day I was away and said, hey, Tiki, hey, Tommy, I think the Mets should send Kodai Senga down. You both would have laughed at her. Is that not a fair statement?
Oh, without a doubt.
You would have laughed at her, right, Tommy?
I wouldn't have laughed, yes, but I would have shot her down.
Thank you. All right. He's going to fight me on everything. Of course you would have laughed at her. She was right. And I held out hope on Kodai, too, a couple of starts in. I was like, I think he'll figure it out. I think he'll figure it out. Eventually, and this is where I do give the Mets credit, they say, you know what? Enough waiting around. Now, let me address Sal Licata. Sal said something to my face. He then tweeted it, so I respect that. He's saying it in both places. He is accusing me.
You.
Accusing me of rooting for Jacob deGrom tonight.
No biggie.
Now, Sal, I want to make this clear to you and the audience. I'm a Met fan.
I want the Mets to win tonight. I don't even want Jake to pitch well. That doesn't do anything for me. Would I like him to pitch well 5 days from now? Sure. Have I rooted for him throughout the... Of course. But I want to win. And so while I'm going to respect him, something Sal doesn't, and I'm going to cheer him, something Sal wouldn't do, I can do two things at once. Now, Sal, I don't know if you've admitted this on the radio, but you've admitted it to me, and I'm sure you've admitted it then on the radio. Sal Licata is the same guy who openly rooted for Mike Piazza to hit multiple, if not three, home runs against the Mets when he was on the San Diego Padres.
I am wrong.
Why was he rooting for Mike Piazza? Because he loved Mike Piazza?
Yes. Which is, by the way, loving Mike Piazza, nothing wrong with.
Did he still want the Mets to win?
It doesn't matter at that point. You're rooting for Piazza to go deep.
If Piazza hits three home runs, they're probably not winning.
So exactly.
He was rooting tactically for the Mets to lose.
Exactly. So you, Sal Licata, have a track record of this. I do not. There has never been a moment in my FET fandom, including tonight at Citi Field, where I am rooting against my team because of an individual player. Unlike him and many others who didn't respect Jacob deGrom, who didn't appreciate Jacob deGrom, I did. I am not rooting for him. If you accuse me of it, you're lying. And you know what? Maybe I'll sue him for libel.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding, Sal. I would never do that. Imagine Sal listening right now like, what?
Sweating out.
I would never do that. Then, of course, people agree with him. Evan is love struck with this overrated pitcher from Bearded D. Let me tell you something, Bearded D. Overrated my ass. I'm going to fight with people in the mentions on the air. How about this one? Of course he is. He's the textbook definition of a loser Mets fan. 80% of Mets fans low-key like losing. It's sneaky comforting to them. That's from Chris. Hey, Chris, you can kiss my ass too. Thank you.
All right. Oh, yeah. Just laughing at Bearded D.
Sorry, I just needed to respond to these horrific accusations. Yeah, do you have something to say?
I do have something to say.
What?
Because there is some truth to what Sal is saying.
Excuse me?
I don't believe Evan Roberts is entering Citi Field
I'll
tonight.
I'll sue you for libel.
No, but hear me out. I do think there's an alternate non-Mets collapsing universe where you're rooting for Jacob deGrom tonight.
What?
In other words, things have gotten so bad, you have no choice in your Met fandom but to sit there and root hard. If the Mets right now were firmly in a playoff position, you could say all you want. There is a part of you that wants to go watch one last Jacob deGrom throw seven shutout innings kind of deal. You maybe want the Mets to win 1-0 in the ninth, but there's no doubt in my mind your love affair for Jacob deGrom now has to take a backseat because of the Mets collapse.
The reason I don't even want to engage in that debate is you're just creating a hypothetical. Like, I'm talking about the reality of today.
Okay.
Sal thinks I'm rooting for Jake. I am not. And I'm making it very clear where my rooting interests are. Now, my father, who taught me the Mets, who taught me the love of the Mets, and he's told me this story before, when Tom Seaver returned to face Jerry Kuzman, Tom, of course, then with the Cincinnati Reds after the trade, my dad said, I wanted the Mets to win 1-0. That was his opinion. He said, I wanted Tom to pitch well, but I wanted to win. I'm not even doing that. I haven't said, oh, I want to win 1-0. I'm not saying that. I hope they bomb him. I do. I hope he gets knocked out in the first inning. And by the way, just to prove my point even more, Jake's on my fantasy team, and I'm in the playoffs. Screw the playoffs. I'm going to lose anyway. I may as well go down in a blade of glory.
Bilotti dominating you?
He's kind of kicking my ass.
It's also a blaze of glory.
Whatever. So two things can be true, and I am a demanding Sal Licata delete that tweet.
I think, Evan, I'm on your side and I believe you, but you're not helping your cause. You're coming off a little like sensitive to it. Like you're fighting with D Beard and Sal Licata.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're reacting to Twitter trolls makes me think that it might be like maybe 1% true just because of the way you're reacting.
I'm going to retweet Sal's tweet and I'm just going to write blasphemous. Is that used correctly?
Yeah.
Blasphemous.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I feel better now. I didn't listen to what Tommy said, but I'm sure it was interesting and informative.
Why start now?
Let's go to Chris in Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys. How we doing?
All's good.
Listen, I agree with Sean. He had me rolling with the first reaction to the debate and when he said the audience didn't like it or the audience didn't benefit or whatever he said.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was great. It was a tough listen. But I got to tell you, I got to be honest, Tommy won again. I think the bottom line here with the Mets is you don't know. I mean, you got 15 games. And I think they'll be fine. I mean, maybe I'm in the minority. I think they'll be fine.
Well, you know what, Chris? You know,
just think about that. 15 games after all, the entirety of this season, 162 in total, that it's going to be. And as good as they played at moments and as confident as you were about how they actually had a chance to compete for a World Series, now you're talking about they got 15 games to make the postseason.
Can I tell you something?
That is a great fall from grace.
You want to hear something even crazier and more disturbing than even that? Let's say Chris is right, and the Mets win 10 out of their last 15 games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they go 10-5. Because of allowing Cincinnati to get this close, and San Francisco, but I want to use the Reds as an example, they could still miss the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And let me walk you through how. Mets go 10-5, pretty good, sounds good. The Reds are playing the A's, Cardinals, Cubs, Pirates, and Brewers. What if they go 11-5? Well, the answer is,
yeah.
Actually, no, it'd have to be better than that.
12-4.
Yeah, thank you. If they go 12-4, the Mets miss the playoffs, you know, barring a Padre collapse. So they've put themselves in a very dangerous spot where even if they play well in these final 15 games, they are not guaranteed anything. And that's the danger zone.
Yeah, that is, it gets rough. By the way, Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything that he's built and protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
More on Giants, Cowboys, and Jets, Bills, including if the Bills have now surpassed the Patriots and Dolphins as the team we Jet fans hate the most. Plus, more of your calls on the Mets. We'll mix in the Yankees as well. I've been giving this one thought for the last couple of days as the Jets get set to take on the Buffalo Bills, a team that I don't like. I don't know how any Jet fan likes the Buffalo Bills, but because they have been so good and so dominant in the AFC East for the last couple of years, and the Jets have had some success against them, especially at MetLife Stadium, have they surpassed the Patriots and the Dolphins on our sports hate list?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
And I go back and forth about it because they're obviously far better. I mean, the Dolphins and the Patriots have not been good. Patriots more recently at the end of the Tom Brady era. The Dolphins, I mean, they've had some good years, but they haven't won a playoff game in a couple of decades. And I wrestle back and forth, and I still think I hate the Dolphins more than I hate the Bills. And I think a part of it is because they're so bad.
Yeah.
Because they're so bad, I can't have them get up. Them getting up would actually bother me.
Yeah, because it jumps you.
Yeah.
In a weird sense.
Yeah.
Even though they've had some successful seasons and been in the postseason, et cetera, they just jump you in being relevant.
I think so. And as far as the Patriots are concerned, I would still put the Patriots above the Buffalo Bills because even though Bill isn't there anymore and Tom isn't there anymore, the hype for Vrabel, the hype for Drake May.
Do you dislike Mike Vrabel?
I dislike the Patriots.
Okay, but
he
you sound
played
like
for them.
They have stunk for the last couple of years.
Yes, yes.
They fired their coach after one Jared Mayo
yes.
after 1 year.
Yes.
And he just disappeared. Nobody knows where Jared Mayo went.
Yeah, where is he?
He's probably getting paid, so why does he have to even worry about it right now? But it is what it is. But Mike Vrabel was a successful, obviously, player, but then a successful head coach in Tennessee, out of your purview. You didn't care about the Tennessee Titans.
I want him to coach the Jets. So, obviously, I like him as a coach. I think that once he rope-a-doped the Jets and went to New England,
he didn't do anything. The Patriots rope-a-doped Jared Mayo because he was just a place marker until Mike Vrabel became available.
Well, that's their problem. I'm talking about
so
my
problem. Why is he was never coming to the Jets.
Am I supposed to like Mike Vrabel, Tiki?
I mean, I'm just wondering why you hate him.
Well,
I don't care if you like him.
Because of the job he has. Tiki, I love you. Mm. You're a good dude.
Yeah.
If you became the coach of the Dolphins,
you'd still like me.
I'd like it, but I'd hate you.
No, you wouldn't. You'd actually find yourself rooting for the Patriots.
Oh, come on.
You'd be like, you know what? As long as they're not playing the Jets, I think I need the Pats to win.
I think you're nuts. So I still wrestle between my three division rivals, and I lean towards hating the Patriots more than the Dolphins, but that has gone back and forth over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Dolphins retook the lead recently in the Mike McDaniel era, but now that they're just a forest fire, and Vrabel and the Patriots got unneeded hype from everybody, I've gone back towards the Patriots. So I put a poll out like 5 minutes ago, so it's got very early returns. And I said, hey, fellow Jet fans, which team in the AFC East do you despise the most? And I hope you guys haven't looked. Do you have a genuine prediction on what Jet fans say?
I think it's going to be the history of the Pats. So I'm going to say Pats.
You're going to say Patriots.
I think the Dolphins.
You're going to say Dolphins.
Okay. I agree. Dolphins.
All right. So the results, and again, it's only been 5 minutes, mm-hmm. are as one-sided as I've ever seen a poll. It is one of the biggest blowouts a Twitter poll has ever had.
Okay.
76% say the New England Patriots.
There you go.
Yeah. And the younger fan, they've dealt with is Brady.
I mean, all they did was torture us.
That's right.
14% say Dolphins, 10% say Bills. And here's the reason I bring this up.
14%. Oh, nobody says Bills?
Nobody basically says the Bills. Here's how this changes. It's so simple. The Jets have to compete with them. Not in a game.
Oh, I see.
Not on a Sunday, but for the division. Like, the Bills have beaten us in big moments, 2015, the Rex Ryan game. You know, the end of the season, Jets are 10-5. If they win, they get in. And it was an awful performance by Ryan Fitzpatrick and Darrell Revis, and the Jets lost in Todd Bowles' first year. And no doubt that game stings. But for the most part, the Bills have just been there.
Yeah.
So I think this poll shows you that our bitterness is about the past. It's about the distant past. Mm-hmm. For the Bills to surpass the Dolphins and Patriots, and it should be easy. Their head coach wanted to compare his players to 9/11 terrorists. Like, it's easy to hate the Buffalo Bills and their overrated fans, the Bills Mafia. Give me a break.
Right. Did you hear they jumped through tables?
Yeah. I heard that.
Right. Wow. By the way, the listening audience might agree with you, but the online audience, it just doesn't affect them the same way.
What do you mean?
The head coach issue that you have.
Oh, they don't care that he compared or wanted his players to act like 9/11 terrorists?
It just doesn't resonate the same emotionally with them.
No, it really doesn't.
And every time you try to forget about the Patriots, Tom Brady pops up somewhere else making another quip about the Jets and it reminds you how much you hate the Patriots.
True.
Yeah. No, and you're right about that. Like, sometimes the past will jump out at you and you're like, oh, I hate that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, I hate all three teams, which is very, very healthy.
But not equally.
But for the Bills to get to number one, this is when you know the Jets have arrived. For the Bills to get to number one, how about the Jets battle them for the AFC East? Like a real battle for this division.
Right.
And I'm not predicting that's going to happen by any stretch.
Well, here's the thing.
But that's how you make it happen.
I would argue that for the Bills fan, so let's think about where they've been.
Mm-hmm.
Their most hated rival is nobody in the East, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, as of right now, yes.
Because, because they can't get past them.
And
they feel blocked by the Kansas City Chiefs.
But also, you're 1,000% right. The other thing you have to mention is that the division sucks so badly. Why would you hate a division rival when you're stopping them?
I agree. So my point, just to draw the parallel, the Bills fans hate the Chiefs. Just any randoms, not division related, any random team. They hate the Chiefs because the Chiefs block them. The Jets aren't being blocked by the Bills.
They're being blocked by themselves.
Exactly. And so the only thing you can think back to is not being blocked, but being dominated.
Yeah.
And that was the New England Patriots. That's why the Patriots are running away with your poll.
I get the Patriots because the Dolphins and the Patriots go back and forth. And I think the main reason that the Dolphins will pop their head every once in a while is that there are Dolphin fans in New York and they're all obnoxious. I mean, they really are.
Well, I mean, the owner lives in New York, so.
Okay. But that doesn't mean anything.
I mean, I'm just stating a fact.
But that's not the reason why they're a Dolphin fan.
Of course not. I'm not even suggesting that.
Do you know why there are a lot of Dolphin fans
in
New York?
Same reason that there are Cowboy fans. Because they were good in the 70s when television was in its infancy, at least sports on television was in its infancy.
I think there are two other reasons. Number one, Dan Marino, which I have respect for.
By the way, I saw Dan last week.
Oh, good.
Looking good.
I'm glad he's looking good.
Give you any isotoners?
No, my hands don't take care of him.
The other reason is because of Aqua. 8-year-olds love the color. I love the colors. I'm going to be a Dolphin fan.
You're missing it.
This Ace is Ventura?
Yeah.
The him, the her.
Kids that were our age.
Yes.
You had Dan Marino, and then when Ace Ventura came out, it took people that were Jet and Giant fans and said, I love the Miami Dolphins.
That movie was enormous.
Yes.
It was so popular.
No, I know, but I didn't think that turned people into Dolphin fans.
You're right about the Aqua part of it.
Like Major League turn people into Indian fans? No. Oh, let me help you out.
But you know what?
No.
Here's the thing. When I think about Major League, I almost forget it's about the Indians.
Oh, do you?
Yes. Huh. It wasn't necessarily about. It could have been any baseball for any crappy baseball franchise in some small market that was trying to move to a big market. It wasn't necessarily Cleveland that you cared about. Whereas Ace Ventura, it was all about the Dolphin.
Yeah, and baseball, to be fair, there was a million baseball movies when you were younger, right? You had Major League, then your Rookie of the Year, the Cubs, Little Big League, the Twins. Major League Baseball always incorporated teams into the movies. Ace Ventura was so unique in that. Outside of Ace Ventura and then Little Giants playing the Cowboys, you didn't get NFL teams featured in a movie. And then that Aqua Blue hooks you in the midst of the Marino.
Even Any Given Sunday.
Yeah, it was just random.
It was a fake team.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Yes. Football didn't have ties to that. So when you see the Miami Dolphins about this major movie, I'm telling you.
No, I don't know. I'm not going to disagree. I guess I buy it. All I'm saying is there are Dolphin fans in our city. There aren't really Patriot fans. Like they're just from Boston.
I think it's too close.
What do you mean? Oh, geography-wise?
Yeah, geographically, it's too close.
Patriot fans are Red Sox fans. They're Celtic fans. They're close by because we're almost neighbors, but they're not your brothers and sisters. The Dolphin fan is. But yeah, my Twitter poll is saying it's overwhelming New England.
Yeah, but during that 70s period, I'm just telling you, you can't obscure that fact. They weren't good. The Pats, they weren't good during that time. In fact, they were horrible.
They did go to the Super Bowl against the Chicago Bears in 1985. That didn't help a little bit?
That was past it, I think.
Oh. All right.
I'm talking about the baby boomers.
Oh, the growth of the NFL fan in the late 70s, the Steeler, Cowboy, Dolphin fan.
Yeah, fair 100%.
Enough. I think they're all valid reasons on why these pesticides known as Dolphin fans have popped up everywhere. Let's go to Mike in Union, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So the bottom line is we hate the Patriots because of the winning. But the difference between the Bills and the Dolphins fans, you just hit it on the head. These fans are awful. Bills fans, when we beat them, they come out there, they're like, oh, good game, you know, maybe we'll get you next time. Dolphins fans, you just want to knock them across the face every single time these guys open their mouth.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. WFN NFL football is powered by Verizon. Tyler is in Caldwell, New Jersey. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. So, you know, I want to talk about big picture Giants, and I'm not going to waste any time with the quote-unquote QB controversy. The bottom line is they're not going to send a quarterback who they just paid $20 million to the bench in week two. And even if they did, the season's likely a wrap anyways. Tiki, I want to ask you something.
But hold on. Real quick, Tyler, just to combat that specific.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Gio.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Point. It's $20 million, and it's a one-year deal. So that means it's a sunk cost. It's like going to a crappy movie and being like, well, I paid for the ticket and you want to leave, you'll leave. So I disagree, but I hear what you're saying. Keep going.
Yeah. And I didn't want to make that the what I want to talk about on my call. Guys, just bear with me. But Tiki, I want to ask you something. In 2005, as a member of the Giants, what was so significant about that year?
2005, we have come off a terrible season where we won one of our last seven, but we won 10 games that year. And the challenge was it was deeper than just the game. One of the first things that was told to us is Wellington Mara and Bob Tisch were both ill. And I remember this as one of the first meetings in training camp. Coach Coughlin told us, you will be the team of record for both of these owners. And for some people, that didn't mean much. But to me, it meant everything because of my relationship with both Wellington and Bob. And so
I had
one of my best seasons. But that was personal. I don't know if everybody felt that way. But it certainly was it was a story around our team. And when Wellington passed away, and I mean, that was one of the roughest weeks of my football life, period.
100%. And my point is, and please bear with me, fellas, but when Wellington Mara passed away, that was when the Giants began to have serious issues. The last two major decisions that were made under Wellington Mara was allowing Ernie Accorsi to trade all that draft stock for Eli Manning, and of course the hiring of future Hall of Fame head coach Tom Coughlin. Right. Everything after that, due to ownership, has become a total dumpster fire. And if you allow me to explain, we'll go down the road. You know, nepotism is a big deal in any business world, and sometimes it works out. You know, your son, takes over your business and continues to succeed. That's a great thing. That has not been the case with the New York Giants. What we've seen over the recent years, whether it's, you know, Joe Judge being forced to hire Jason Garrett as their offensive coordinator and destroying Daniel Jones' development, or John Mara listening to Dave Gettleman plead to give him a clean slate and fire Pat Shurmur and bring in Joe Judge, or what we have right now, where John Mara so obviously stuck his nose in the Daniel Jones contract extension, to now he doesn't have the guts to fire Dable or Shane, because he knows in the back of his head that he played a role in extending Daniel Jones. And you see that all across the board. There's no debate. It's the same reason why Jerry Reese stuck around as long as he did. You know,
I think it's more nuanced than what you're getting at. I think there's a little bit more things that you are just not aware of. And whether that's being able to financially compete in a world where some teams, like the Philadelphia Eagles, who else did this? The L.A. Rams, the San Francisco 49ers.
Kicking the can down the road on the cap.
They spend indiscriminately, and they kick the can down the road. So, and as a result, you get the best free agents. Now, the reality is that best free agents, really good free agents, never leave their team. And so what needs to change is scouting of young players. And it's one of the things that Joe Shane emphasize. We kind of have forgotten this going back to 2022, but he basically got rid of the entire scouting department and started it over. And so, like, I know what you're trying to say, but you also can't deny that the Giants in 7 and 11, and both those were well after, well, at least the second one was well after Wellington had passed away, they won championships. And so, not every team makes the right decisions regarding head coach, executives. The Giants got it wrong. They're trying to get it right now.
I usually wouldn't want to hear from someone like this, but I'm so mad at the Mets. I'm not mad at the Phillies. Like, the Phillies did what they had to do. They kicked the crap out of the Mets, and while I don't like the Phillies, I'm not angry today at Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber or even Jesus Luzardo. I'm mad at the Mets. So let's hear from a Philly fan. There's a Philly fan on hold. He's identified himself as a Phillies fan. Ronaldo in Oyster Bay.
What's up, Philly fan Evan?
Ronaldo, welcome to our humble abode. How are you?
How are you, Evan? Kiki?
What's up?
Great job. I left that Wednesday night game, and Denny McClain made the Phillies look stupid, 6-0. We didn't even tag up in the eighth inning to break the shutout. And I left there, and I thought Mets are going to win the division, you know, smooth sailing. Phillies were not playing that well. Pitching has been good, but we haven't been hitting either. Schwarber probably the only one. But, you know, I was really scared about the Mets. 2 weeks later, I'm not worried. But I think you're making the playoffs, but I'm not worried. So I love listening to you guys get, you know, all hyped up. Oh, man, we're going to go back to the World Series. We're 3 games out. I love it. It makes me feel even better. But when it doesn't happen, it makes me even love it even more. And, yes, I'm a Dolphin fan, too. So
Oh, my God. No offense, you sound so scummy. A Philly Dolphin fan. Oh, what is he, a Laker fan, too, while we're at it? Ugh. Oh, that's horrible.
Actually makes him a better person, because Philly Eagle fans are worse. So that's actually
Eagle fans are worse than what?
Dolphin fans.
Oh, that's your perspective because you're a Giant fan.
I think that's America's perspective.
It could be America's perspective. I happen to be a Jet fan. I understand you don't respect us, Sean. You don't think our voice counts.
That's not true.
We don't like the Dolphins. You don't like the Eagles? Cool. We don't like the Dolphins. By the way, speaking of not liking the Eagles, I always think about this when the Giants play the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And I know your opinion on this subject.
But have Giant fans changed who they hate the most? Because I thought for a while growing up, the Cowboys were their number one rival.
Yeah.
I think it's now the Eagles, the combo of their success.
I think it's become the Eagles.
It's clearly the Eagles, right?
Yeah, I think the proximity and the fact that they've been really good for 8+ years now, and while they're not blocking us again from anything like the Jets, because they've just been so much better. Well, actually, they did in 2022. They're the ones that knocked us out of the postseason.
Yes.
They were just a superior team.
Obviously. And in 2020, they knocked you out by sitting guys.
They did it a couple times. Yeah. So I think it's definitely become the Eagles.
Meanwhile, you can't beat the Cowboys either.
I know, but they feel like they're always, no matter how bad they beat us, gonna fall short somewhere.
Interesting. More on who Giant fans hate the most coming up. Plus, let's hear from Jackson Dart. He did speak to the media a few short minutes ago. We're all curious to know what he's thinking as he possibly may be making his NFL debut over the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.